It's raining. It's been raining on and off for a week now. And when I migrate each summer, I do so in a van, so when it rains, I often have to sit in my van, and I think. In the last 10 days, I have traveled through Nevada, Eastern Oregon, the Spokane Valley in Washington State, and right now my van is parked at the end of a Forest Service road outside of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. This steep valley in the North Country seems a good place to ponder all the new and profound information that I have recently absorbed. First, let me say that in the last 7 years, I have spent a considerable amount of time trying to listen to the stories of the land that seems to have adopted me. And I have noticed a split. Two spirits, let's say. There is a recognition of the way of the ancients, the remembrance within my own DNA and within the land that surrounds me. Then, there feels to be a thin layer of a foreign substance resting on top of all of that. It feels like ash to me, a layer of tragedy that is linked and caused by a cultural belief that wealth is achieved by sucking out as much as you can, as fast as you can, and who cares about the collateral damage. Over the years, I have tried to hold a yogic position of listening, and I have felt my ancient mind wake up and get stronger after a long imposed atrophy. Now it can actually see the pale ash layer of the greed mind under which I was born. So here I am, traveling around the land that is called the Western United States, the land that was imposed upon most recently, a couple hundred years in some places, so the ash layer is most thin, yet no less devastating and toxic. To these places I watch and listen, and try to pass messages on audio postcards to you. The vision of ash is coming to me because as I drove through Nevada, I caught wind of trouble that has not been talked about many other places. The Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency has been planning a detonation of a 700-ton ammonium nitrate and fuel oil bomb at the Nevada test site, which is 85 miles north of Las Vegas. The test, called Operation Divine Strike, is intended to simulate a low-yield nuclear weapon and is 280 times larger than the bomb that destroyed the federal building in Oklahoma City in 1995. Most importantly, any blast of that magnitude will disturb surface contamination left from the 100 above-ground and 828 underground nuclear weapons tests conducted at that same site from 1951 to 1992. The test site is located on land belonging to the Western Shoshone Nation. I recently saw a quote from Thomas Wasson of the Western Shoshone. He said, quote, "After destroying our lands and causing untold deaths and human misery with their radiation, the U.S. government now wants to do the same thing again. They must be stopped for the good of the Western Shoshone and all people." Unquote. The test was postponed once, from June 2nd of this year to the 23rd, and there are many people trying to stop this ash from falling again, with groups filing legal lawsuits to stop it permanently. Yesterday, when I was in the Coeur d'Alene Library, I looked on the internet to see if the test had been rescheduled again. I found this article from the Associated Press. "The federal government has indefinitely postponed a planned explosion that was expected to generate a mushroom cloud over the Nevada desert. Officials say the delay will allow more time to answer questions about the blast." National Nuclear Security Administration spokesman Darwin Morgan says the test will be rescheduled at a later date depending on legal action. Huh. While I'm cautiously relieved, experience tells me that they won't give up that easily. I also wanted to tell you about a waterfall in eastern Washington. There are a number of major waterfalls around the Northwest that are not only large and impressive, but for many, many generations in the wise past, they drew many people to the falls each year to fish the many salmon migrating up the mighty rivers to spawn. I, of course, don't want to speak for anyone who comes from such a salmon-blessed lineage, but gosh, even a girl like me can see how it was so. I say was, because in each case the salmon are basically no more. In each case, concrete dams have flooded these sacred places in the 20th century, or the dams have effectively blocked the salmon from reaching the area upriver. This is the case with the Spokane Falls. Located in east-central Washington, the Spokane River was once one of the most productive salmon streams in the entire Columbia River system, which is the fifth largest river in the world. The total number of salmon likely approached 1 million annually. Unlike other falls around the Northwest, the Spokane Falls were too high for the fish to traverse, and the migrating salmon could travel no further. This means that before the dam days, during their season, people had their pick of salmon as big as men. Since the Grand Coulee Dam was built in 1941, no salmon traveled to this place, surrounded now by the concrete of downtown Spokane. The story that lies under this symbolic ash layer is a story of the creation of such an amazing waterfall, so big to even stop the salmon, allowing the people from far and wide to feast to their heart's content. A story that tells how the falls was created by Coyote. While I was walking around the falls, loud in sound yet silent of fishing platforms and evidence of the salmon people, I stumbled onto a little cement island in the traffic of downtown Spokane. There, someone had inlaid a spiral of stones in the cement. I love spirals, so I went to investigate. Upon closer look, I noticed there were words etched into each rock. When read, they pull you into the center of the spiral, the roaring thunder of the lonely falls filling the ears. I have no idea who wrote this, but it sent a feeling of power rushing through me, and I want you to hear it. Coyote was alone and angry because he could not find love. No. Coyote was alone and angry because he demanded love, demanded a wife from the Spokane, the Coeur d'Alene, the Palouse, all the tribes camped on the edge of the Spokane River, and he received only laughter. So Coyote rose up with his powerful and senseless magic and smashed a paw across the water, which broke the river bottom in two, which created rain that lasted for many days and nights, and which created Spokane Falls, that place where salmon traveled more suddenly than Coyote dreamed, that place where salmon swam larger than any white man imagined. But Coyote, I know you broke the river because of love. I saw you catch salmon on the falls after you had created them. I know you slept all fat and happy beside the river and pretended it was all by your design. Coyote, you're a liar and I don't trust you. I never have. But I do trust all those stories the grandmothers told me. They said the falls were built because of your unrequited love, and I can understand that rage, Coyote. We can all understand. Look at the falls now. If you can see beyond all the concrete the white man has built here. Look at all of this and tell me that concrete ever equals love. Coyote, these white men don't always love their own mothers, so how can they love this river which gave birth to 1,000 lifetimes of salmon? How could they love these falls, which have fallen further, which sit dry and quiet as a graveyard now? These falls are that place where ghosts of salmon jump, where ghosts of women mourn their children who will never find their way back home. Where I stand now and search for any kind of love, where I sing softly, under my breath, alone and angry. More and more often, I find myself wondering, what would it be like if the salmon weren't blocked and poisoned, if the bombs and greed were blocked, if the blocks were broken through by Coyote and salmon, and the culture of poison poisoned into nothingness by their own deeds? The ashy voice in my mind pipes up and says, "Ugh, that will never happen." But my dreaming mind isn't so sure. Wise cultures around the world have always put much importance on the dream to guide, to direct and influence. Many people had, and still have, a group of dreamers who dream to engage and interact with the benevolent forces that can help them, help us, just like the divine strength test. One day it's happening, one day it's not. Let's hope. Suddenly I hear a splash, and my mind is drawn back to the van in the rain. I look out the window, and there, splashing about in the small lake below me, is a young moose, frolicking in the misty rain. My heart opens up, and I feel at peace. "Yep," I say, "this is my reality." Keep up the dreaming. This is Quinn Elizabeth.